Good evening. I had a wonderful day today. Didn't know it, but we had two guests today. We had Jay and his cousin James. Very well-behaved, nice young men. And I know they didn't play with me. They played with Stefan, but I enjoyed their being there. And then we came over here and we joined the Baker family, and we had a blast. We made little Jesus hearts. We talked about the Good Samaritan. We ate my wife's food. And then we went outside and threw paper airplanes. I don't know if a day can get better than that. I had a blast. In our story tonight, it's a story about change, basically. Change because the son that said, no way, did what the father wanted. He changed his mind, he changed his thinking, and thereby he changed his actions, didn't he? And he did what the father said. When I was in Germany, I studied with people of many faiths, and I remember studying with a Catholic man. I loved this man to death. He was the sweetest, nicest man. He taught high school over there in Germany for years and years and years. And then he was in charge of the adult education program, which I taught in for a while there in Germany, taught English. And believe it or not, this man, he was a good Catholic, if you want to call it, you know, I mean, he went every Sunday to church. And one day as I was in his office, I noticed pictures of naked women hanging around. I asked him about that, and that was his hobby. And they got in groups and would all pitch in and pay for a model, and then I don't know who these people were, but they would draw these pictures. But anyways, he told me something one time in a Bible study. He says, Monty, you keep talking about how people can change. He says, I don't believe it. He says, people are innately evil. And they cannot change. And we had a lot of discussion on that topic. And I said, well, I'll say his name. You guys don't know him. Mr. Decker, you're wrong. People, through Jesus Christ, can change. Not because they themselves are doing the changes, but because God in them is enabling them, helping them, and giving them the strength they need to change. People can change. They can be different than what they were before. I don't know if I should say this, but I will. Stefan's grandfather, or Marianne's father, whichever way you want to look at it, was an alcoholic. Almost destroyed his family through his alcoholism. Now, I don't know all the specifics thereof, but he became a Christian. And from that point on, he never drank again. Isn't that amazing? To be an alcoholic, to be gone some nights, and your wife and kids have no idea where you're at, and then out of the blue, when you decide to become a Christian, just to say, God doesn't want me to drink. He told me that. He says, I knew God didn't want me to drink anymore, and so I stopped. Could he have done that without, I think, help from God? I think that was an amazing story. And I believe I know he had help through the Blue Cross in Germany. And I know also the Blue Cross. It's like the Red Cross, but the Blue Cross works with alcoholics. There's different crosses, and I don't know all the different colors. But the Blue Cross works with alcoholics. And I know he had help with them, and I know he would go speak to other Blue Cross groups. People can change. People can change. I have met smokers who no longer smoke. I've met alcoholics that no longer drink. I even know of people who had the foulest mouths you ever heard, but when they became Christians, you would never have known they even knew the meaning of those words. They changed. They became different. And I don't know, I've never watched the show personally, but I've seen it advertised, The Biggest Loser. Now that sounds terrible, but what that means is they get these people that are obese, and they put them in a contest to see who can lose the most weight. And that's what this whole show's about, how they change their thinking about food, and thereby change how they eat and how they live. And they lose weight. Can people change? I think they can. Making changes are hard, aren't they? It's not easy to change. I was single for many, many long years. Then I married Marianne. I married kind of late. And that took some changes from being single. Being out as long as I wanted, and believe me, I didn't stay out late. I was usually at home and in bed by 10:30. I wasn't a wild single. but I had to change my eating habits. Usually I ate when I got hungry, and as a single, it's amazing. I ate out at restaurants much more than at home. Or I also visited a lot of people and somehow would always get invited, since I was this poor single man who didn't know how to cook. So I got invited out to eat a lot, particularly by elderly women. I don't know. They pitied me or thought of me as a child, or who knows. But you have to make changes, and making changes is hard. Because of temptations. Believe it or not, my weakness is sweets. I love sweets. And if they're sitting on the table, or even if Marianne puts them in the refrigerator, I know where they're at. And there are times when I'm not even thinking about it. I walk to the refrigerator, open it up, and take out a brownie. And munching on a brownie. Didn't even think about it. I don't even know if I really wanted the brownie. I don't know. It's kind of like the sugar was calling me. Eat me, eat me. I don't know why I eat sweets. It's a problem with me. I love sweets. I love ice cream, but I'm learning not to eat ice cream because ice cream has strange effects on me. But the temptation. Because even though I know I shouldn't eat it, it's my wife's fault. She keeps baking brownies and cake and leaving them on the table. It's not my fault. But isn't that exactly what most people say? Why they can't change? It's not my fault. But with God's help, a person can change, and that for the better. I think part of the problem, do people want to change? Do they really want to change? Many people say they cannot change. But I think maybe for many of those people, that might be an excuse. Because deep down, they don't want to change. People start a sinful practice. After a while, it becomes a habit. And then I think it becomes an addiction. An addiction is something that controls your life, even if you don't want it to. I can remember, I was in Germany. I wasn't yet married to Marianne. I was single. And I had been trying not to eat sweets. And it was about 11 o'clock at night. And I had this urge for something sweet. And being a good boy, I had no sweets in the house. But there was a gas station that opened up that was open 24 hours. That was something new for Germany, a 24-hour gas station. And you know what those gas stations sell? Sweets! And I went and got me a Coke, a Sprite. You know, those cans. I got me two or three different chocolate bars, some potato chips, and I went home and ate them. Then I went to bed. An addiction, is it not? I didn't really want to do that. The urge was so strong. An addiction. It was controlling me. And sin is like that. There are sin that will control you to make you do things you don't want to do. What did Jesus call it? You are a slave to sin. I think it's John 8:34. I tell you the truth. Everyone who lives in sin is a slave to sin. You know, it's amazing. I hear this a lot. I can stop it if I want. Have you ever heard that? I can stop if I want. I just don't want to. Well, sin controls them. Sin is addictive. Sin holds us under its control. It's an appetite that won't give up. But there's good news. The truth that sin controls us is not the end of the story. Just two verses later, Jesus says in verse 36, "So if the Son makes you free, you will be truly free." Now what is Jesus telling us there in the book of John? He is telling us that He can free us from sin and from its control over us. Jesus helps the Christian to rise above the failures and the moral stains of the past, to overcome the addiction of sin. God can help us become a new person, freed from the old and born again. And that's literally what it is, isn't it? A new birth. We are no longer that old person, but a new. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 and 18, Paul says, "If anyone belongs to Christ, there is a new creation. The old things have gone. Everything is made new. All this is from God through Christ. God made peace between us and Himself." We come again to the cross of Christ. Where did He nail our sins? Upon that cross. And like Him, we die to our sins and we are born anew. And Jesus was raised on the third day. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 through 10. Actually, I'm going to read 3 through 10. Colossians 3, 3 through 10. "Your old sinful self has died, and your new life is kept with Christ in God. Christ is our life. And when He comes again, you will share in His glory. So put all evil things out of your life. Sexual sinning, doing evil, letting evil thoughts control you, wanting things that are evil, and greed. This is really serving a false god. These things make God angry. In your past, evil life, you also did these things. But now also, put these things out of your life. Anger, bad temper, doing or saying things to hurt other people, using evil words when you talk. Do not lie to each other. You have left your old sinful self and the things you did before. You have begun to live the new life in which you are being made new and are becoming like the one who made you. This new life brings you the true knowledge of God." If people cannot change, why would God demand it of us? He is not a cruel God. He doesn't expect us to do anything that we cannot do. But God knows what we can do. And He knows that we can change our thinking. Because isn't that where change starts? With our thinking? He changed his thinking. He changed his life. He went home and apologized to his father. Who was that? The prodigal son. Jesus told us a story about one who changed his thinking first and then his way of life. He admitted that his lifestyle was wrong and that he had it better before even. And when he went back to the father, did he go and say, here I am again, make me your son? No, his thinking said, I did wrong. I treated you wrong, father. Just make me a servant. Because your servants have it much better than what I have at the present. He wanted to change his life. His thinking changed, his behavior changed, his direction changed. And the Bible tells us the Father declared him a son again. That's all God wants. He just wants us to realize the way we're heading is wrong. He wants us to realize sinful life is wrong. He wants us to realize it's hurting us and not helping us. He wants us to come back to Him so He can make us His sons. Let me just go ahead and read that to you. This is Luke 15, verse 21 and following. The son said, Father, I have sinned against God and have done wrong to you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, hurry, bring the best clothes and put them on him. Also, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet and get our fat calf and kill it so we can have a feast and celebrate. And here's the important part. My son was dead. He was dead in sin. But now he is alive again. He was lost, but he is found. So they began to celebrate. This story that Jesus told reminds us of the fact that people can wake up in their sin and see where it's taking them. They see the hurt they have done to themselves and that they have done to others, and they become ashamed of that type of life. And they come home to the Father. It also reminds us that God meets each and every one of His returning children as sons of God. Welcomed. And we are told when this happens, the angels in heaven celebrate. I think the angels would love celebrating. And how do we help them to celebrate? We bring souls to Christ. It's true. The lost can be saved. The dead can become spiritually alive again. Change can and does take place in human beings. People don't have to remain the way they are. They can change their lives. That's what repentance means. A change of heart that leads to a changed life. And God made us people who can think and who can change their thinking. We can control our thoughts and we can control the focus of our lives. In Ezekiel 18, Old Testament, Ezekiel 18, verse 20 and following. The person who sins is the one who will die. A child will not be punished for his parent's sin, and a parent will not be punished for his child's sin. Those who do right will enjoy the results of their own goodness. Evil people will suffer the results of their own evil. But suppose the wicked stop doing all the sins they have done and obey all my rules and do what is fair and right. Then they will surely live. They will not die. Their sins will be forgotten because they have done what is right. They will live. I do not really want the wicked to die, says the Lord God. I want them to stop their bad ways and live. You know, God doesn't want us to go to hell. He did not make hell for human beings. He wants us to turn from our wicked ways and return to Him in righteous living and thus receiving eternal life. Even in the Old Testament, God wanted His people to repent and do right. He wanted them to be lights in the world, that the people of the world would see the righteousness of Israel and come to God. That was the purpose of Israel. He wanted all people to receive the gift of eternal life. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6, starting with verse 9. Surely you know that the people who do wrong will not inherit God's kingdom. Do not be fooled. Those who sin sexually, worship idols, take part in adultery, those who are male prostitutes are men who have sexual relations with other men. Those who steal, are greedy, get drunk, lie about others, or rob, these people will not inherit God's kingdom. That's quite a list, wasn't it? And today, some of these things are listed as being okay, as being nor only an alternate of other ways of living. But God says these people will not go to heaven, period. In the past, some of you were like that, but you were washed clean. These Corinthians were doing these things that we just read. And Paul said, you stopped doing them. You were washed clean. You were made holy. You were made right with God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of God. God helped these people to make huge changes in their lifestyle. He made sinners saints. And if God could make a difference in the life of these Corinthians, He can make a difference in us, in our friends, in our neighbors, and in our family. He can help you overcome every sin in your life. He can help you to become the person He wants you to be. There is a saying, I just read it the other day. I liked it though. It said, I'm not all I want to be. I'm not all I ought to be. I'm not all I'm going to be. But thank God I'm not what I used to be. That's a good way to look at it. I may not reach perfection here on this earth, but I sure am better than I was 20 years ago because God has been working on me. I don't take credit for myself. God has made the changes in me, and He's still working on me. There's still a lot of rough edges, a lot of things that need to change in my life. God's working on me. God can help us become the person that He intended for us to be. You can win over sin if you give yourself to the Lord and obey the gospel. That is to repent, change your thinking and change your actions, and to be baptized. If you do this, Jesus will help you overcome every sin and problem you face if you trust Him and let Him be Lord of your life. That is the victory that we have in faith in Jesus Christ. He will always give us a way to get out of the temptation that we are in. It's a promise. Let us pray together. Father, help us to be willing to make the changes necessary in our lives so that we are pleasing to You. We are thankful, Father, that through our faith in Jesus Christ, Your Son, that You give us the strength we need to overcome sin and the problems of the world. We thank You, Father, for Your grace that You have given us in Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, to be obedient to Your will. Help us to seek Your will. And help us to live in accordance with Your will. For, Father, this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to change your life, Christ gives us the power. Come as we stand and sing to receive that power and wash away your sins in baptism.